We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
"20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That all doesn't matter because I am joined once again by the one and only Aaron Nagler. You can find him over, of course, on Cheesehead TV and everywhere else that has the most amazing Packer takes in the world. Aaron, it is so great to be back chatting with you. How the heck have you been?
Andy, hold on, please. Wait, can you just say all of that again into that beautiful, gorgeous-sounding microphone? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's a whole new world. This is like Dorothy going through that door in Oz when it all turns to color. Your voice, the timbre, the richness. Andy, I'm so happy.
The Tyler hair is flowing through you right now of just pure joy. Tyler was so mad at me last year because I had all this stuff and never had the opportunity to get it set up. He's like, just set it up. I'm like, I don't have time. And then finally I got the time.
Well, I'm very happy, as I'm sure all of your listeners are as well.
Yeah, they're not used to me sounding like I'm not in a tin can, so they're still getting used to it a little bit, but we got there. It's a big step. Outside of me getting a new microphone since we talked last, there's been a couple things that have changed on the Packers side of things as well. It was a pretty chaotic first 24 hours of free agency.
Just a little bit.
It slowed down through the rest of the week, but you still got Keyshawn Nixon back, AJ Dillon back. I'll just let you go to start off in any direction that you want. Your biggest gut feelings and takeaways that you're feeling after a pretty chaotic week.
Well, yeah, it was chaotic for that first day in particular, man. I've said a couple of different places. That was probably the craziest kind of one 24-hour period of Packers news / content creation that I've experienced. And I've been doing this since 2007. So that was fast and furious. The way they just, it was like waves. And I will say I did appreciate how everything did seem to happen in kind of a cycle where I was just finishing up like one piece of content as far like every cutting it, putting it up on all the different platforms, etc., and like making sure it's and then there's another piece of news. So I appreciated that aspect of it.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's very clearly the thing. I kind of mentioned this in our newsletter last week. It really feels like it's Brian's team now.
Yeah.
Like, even though like two of the major signings obviously are from outside the building, they're going to have his stamp because he's the one who signed them, much like when, and I'm not comparing the players, but you know, when Ted signed Charles Woodson or even Ryan Pickett, you know, like those were his guys. So it feels like with Kenny Clark being the lone holdout, as far as Ted draft selections that's remaining on the roster, I think Brian's really putting his stamp on this roster.
I think so too. And I'm fighting every urge in my body not to go on a Ryan Pickett tangent because he doesn't get the credit that he deserves.
Big Grease is a big part of that Super Bowl. I'll tell you
that. He was really, really good. And that was such a great signing by Ted. I've had some guests on, and I've obviously with me going on IR this upcoming week, I try to do some episodes in advance. And I wanted to make it so that we weren't obviously all having the same conversation over and over and over.
Sure.
So I've kind of had different things that I've wanted to focus on. And one of the things that I really wanted to talk about with you was the David Bakhtiari situation, because one, I know that, you know, obviously I know you were still kind of holding out a little bit of hope that maybe something was going to get done. And obviously just you and I both have so much freaking respect for David Bakhtiari and the player that he has been in Green Bay. And it almost feels like in a normal news cycle where Bakhtiari gets released, that probably dominates like 2 weeks of topics of just like moving on from such a great player like that. But in a cycle like this, where you have Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones and everything else going on, Xavier McKinney, I still to this day feel, or to this extent, haven't felt like he has like the full attention that maybe this is deserved. So I just kind of want to give you a quick second to go over your thoughts on Bakhtiari being released, what it means for the team, what it means for him, and any other direction you want to go with it.
Well, you know, like you said, I was holding out hope and I thought there was a path for him to remain on the roster, but it's pretty clear. And it's funny because I think, you know, and you and I have talked about this in the past. If you go and you kind of read the tea leaves, so to speak, of Brian's availabilities, the last couple opportunities we've had to talk to him, whether it was in Indy or the season ending press conference, you know, the writing sure felt like it was on the wall with the Bakhtiari kind of situation. You know, I understand it. My head is completely 1000% lockstep, totally get it. But yeah, I thought there's a definite case to be made for, well, you know, you're taking a $20 million cap hit, and I'd much rather take that hit with him on the roster.
Yeah.
And I was hoping there was some way they could work something out as far as keeping him around and getting him back out on the field. I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, I take Dave at his word that he's not planning on retiring. And he is planning on continuing to play. Obviously he can't pass a physical right now, but the plan is for him to be able to do so in the summer. And yeah, it's going to be hard watching him in another uniform.
It is,
you know, especially when, you know, when he's on the field, he's still an all pro.
Yeah,
he's an all pro. I mean, he's literally erasing top flight pass rushers when he's on the field. So it's hard to watch not only a player who has been so good for so long for the Packers, but a guy who, when he's on the field, is still doing it. So that was my kind of my angle or my kind of perspective on it, along with the fact that, yes, I've gotten to know Dave a little bit over his time in Green Bay, and I really respect the player. I respect the way he goes about his business, and he's always been really good to Cheesehead TV and given me a little bit of a kind of a sneak peek slash, you know, look behind the curtain, so to speak, at some of the business stuff, especially when he was in contract negotiations and things like that, where, you know, I just, as someone who, you know, started very much on the outside looking in,
right,
to get to know him initially through social media, but then over time, like in person, and got to know the guy a little bit. It was just, I really appreciated him, the way he handled pretty much every aspect of representing the Green Bay Packers. And look, you don't have to go very far on the internet. Anytime he is brought up in kind of Packers internet circles, right? People are very passionate about him, his situation, the injury, the fact that there can be just an avalanche of negativity that I think he's done an amazing job of not clapping back on, you know, where he appreciates that everyone is going to have their perspective, even though they may not have all the information or they're willfully ignorant about it. He doesn't seemingly like really lash out too much in that regard. So again, yeah, I just really appreciate the way the man handles his business.
I don't know how he does it, to be honest, because like I've lashed out on his behalf, I feel like sometimes, because you and I both see, you don't get to the level of left tackle and the technician that he was at left tackle without an insane work ethic. You don't get to the point where, as you mentioned, when he comes back for, or tries to come back from these injuries, and you know he's nowhere near 100%, going through all the fluid issues in his knee and things like that, when he's out there on the field, and he's still such a technician that he is still erasing players, even when he's out there, probably at like 60% of what he could be. Right. And he's still like, you don't get to that point without incredible hard work, incredible attention to detail, and doing everything you can to be the best version of yourself. and the thought process that he just wants to collect a paycheck. Like, you had the initial article of like how many times he had his knee drained and all the stuff that he went through to try to get back to play in any capacity, like not like play without pain, just like play that he could.
Yeah, just to be on the field, which he did. That's the other thing that people kind of forget. I feel like at the end of 2022, like, he's playing those games now. There's the appendectomy happens, which is a total freak thing, blah, blah, blah. But, man, the guy is kind of out there like a bionic man, just trying to, like, be held together by duct tape. And he's still playing at an all-pro level. Like, that's what, to your point, like, that's where I kind of get upset. Because I'm like, do people not understand what this guy is going through? Like, what he's doing just to go out there and represent the Green Bay Packers and play at such an insanely high level? Like, that is something that I don't think will ever be appreciated.
Totally agree. And it's so frustrating to see that that is sometimes the case. Not with everyone. Obviously, a lot of people certainly respect it and appreciate that. So hopefully he sees some of that as well. And I'm sure he does. I want to ask you something, though, that I didn't necessarily have on the list today, because you mentioned you could read the tea leaves with Bakhtiari that this was happening, and Brian was pretty transparent. I know you brought up with Aaron Jones, It was not that way. He's like, when he's used the word in the past, like, absolutely, it's pretty much been absolutely. There hasn't been much wavering there. And I get that it's in the GM's job description to lie about things. But this didn't feel like the usual GM speak, like maybe he's going to be back. This felt like Aaron Jones was going to be absolutely back in Green Bay until he wasn't. One, your level of surprise there. And two, do you think there was, like, when Goody said it originally, do you think he meant absolutely, like, he thought in his mind Aaron Jones will absolutely be back? Or do you think the wheels were already churning of this was just GM speak and he, you know, knew this was going to happen?
Yeah, obviously I'd love to get a little truth serum in Brian and ask him that question. I mean, I feel like, yes, when he talked about it, both at the season ending presser and at the combine, sure felt like it was pretty lock solid that yeah, absolutely, he's going to be back. He's part of the plan, etc. And when he has spoken like that in the past, that has what has transpired. Yep. Which is why, yes, it was incredibly surprising. Now, all of that said, I don't doubt for a moment that internally there were discussions probably throughout the season even, but definitely towards the end of the year when they were approaching the offseason about, we cannot in any way, shape, or form count on Aaron Jones another season at a $17 million cap hit, knowing that he could be missing X number of games each and every year for the rest of his career. It's very rare that he plays every game every season. You look at his history, right? So I do think, yeah, they were set on making sure that they reduced the cap number, but it sure feels like they had very different ideas about what that looked like than Aaron Jones and Drew Rosenhaus. And I don't know if that's naivete on Brian's part. I don't know if that's part of some nefarious Machiavellian plan on his part, but yeah, I don't know. That's a question I'd love to get answered, but I don't think we ever will.
No, I'm sure we will not. But that was an interesting one where, again, he's usually a little bit more vague on the ones that you can expect him to be vague about. And the
anything that would, I would think, to constitute where they ended up with Aaron, right? The idea of, well, we're going to ask you to take a pretty significant pay cut. We're going to give you some kind of incentives to maybe bump it back up a little bit. And we saw that kind of work with Preston Smith, right? That's essentially what they did with Preston's contract, where he can even get above what he was supposed to make if he hits incentives. I thought for sure that was the tactic they were going to take with Jones, but it sure feels like they went a lot lower than Jones and Rosenhaus were expecting, and maybe that's kind of was the straw, right? But you can't ask a player to take a pay cut and not be ready to release him if he says no. You have to. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a fascinating one for hopefully down the line we're at a bar somewhere and beer's on the table and we get a little convo going.
That would be nice. Anytime you get that sneak peek and you can hear of it, it's always interesting. But yeah, that's definitely one that I would love to know. Like you said, get some truth serum in them. And yes, I think my listeners are also very sick of me saying if you ask a player to take a pay cut and they say no, you have to be ready to move on. And Green Bay was apparently ready to do so. Let's go through. I just want to ask you kind of some general questions of where Green Bay is at right now. Two huge moves, obviously, in getting Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. Obviously, they move on from some players. They get Keyshawn Nixon back. I know there's probably some obvious answers here of either Jacobs or McKinney, but still, as we sit here today on a Sunday and what Green Bay's done so far, what excites you most about where this team is at right now?
The fact that they went out and got guys coming off their first kind of run in the NFL, right? They're still pretty young.
Yep.
You know, as far as, especially McKinney, he's hitting his prime, essentially, right? And yep. Even with Jacobs, he's an exciting young player, three down back, who I think is going to absolutely dominate in Matt's offense. I think as good as he's been, as insane as his production has been throughout much of his NFL career, I think LaFleur's offense could take him to another level, which is kind of scary if you're an opponent, but really exciting if you're a Packers fan. And just for both of them, I think it's guys kind of like they did when they signed Preston and Za'Darius Smith a couple years ago, you know, where guys who are coming off that first kind of wave of NFL experience, and now they're really entering that prime stretch of their NFL career, and now they're going to do so in a Green Bay Packers uniform. To me, that it, rather than, you know, paying an absurd amount of money for some guy in his last legs over the age of 30, et cetera, I may be looking, you know, across the river here in New Jersey to the Jets facility. But, you know, those kinds of signings, they just reek of desperation, whereas this feels like team building. So to me, that gets me excited.
Yeah, me too. And I think the fact that they're young, they're both former team captains, and they were in probably less than ideal situations. They've played in a combined 3 playoff games, and now we're going to go to a team where has legitimate playoff and hopefully beyond aspirations moving forward. And they all fit the timeline that Green Bay is on right now. To your point, this is not a, you know, 31-year-old mercenary signing. These are players that fit within the core of this roster right now and should continue to be able to build with the core that they have in, and I think even take it to another level. It's finally here. March Madness, one of the most exciting sports weeks of the year, and it's about to be made even better by combining it with the excitement of Prize Picks. Testing my skills on Prize Picks over the past year has been my favorite way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few quick taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and the best part is that you can make your entries in under 60 seconds. Prize Picks has quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types, and that's what makes Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. March Madness is always fun. A ton of epic moments, buzzer beaters, and unparalleled drama. But this year, it's going to be even more epic than ever while using Prize Picks to bring that excitement to an entirely new level. This past week, I used Prize Picks to make selections on Victor Wembanyama, Lionel Messi, Connor Bedard, and the Badgers' Tyler Wall. There are so many options to choose from that you'll never run out of new ways to use Prize Picks. And the absolute best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Just download the app and use code PACKADAY and receive a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Eating healthy can be a challenge. If you're anything like me, I'm trying to make 2024 my best year ever. Trying to eat right, maintain a high level of energy, and make the right choices for my own personal health. But as much as I want to make the right choices, running to the butcher or the high-end grocery stores every single day to get a fresh quality cut of meat just isn't feasible. Thankfully, that's where Good Chop comes in, and it has completely changed my life. I'm so thankful that I found Good Chop because now I can get 100% grass-fed meat like ribeyes, filet mignon, organic chicken breasts, pork tenderloin, and so much more delivered directly to my door. Last night, cooked up organic chicken breasts, made my famous chicken curry. Yes, that is a true story. It is to die for. You would love to try it. And the chicken was incredible. Fresh, tender, unbelievable flavor. The best part was that I didn't even have to go to the store to get it. And Good Chop's price per meal starts at just $3.74, and their boxes are fully customizable with delivery to your door on your schedule. So go to goodchop.com/packaday120 and use code packaday120 to get $120 off across your first four boxes. That's code packaday120 at goodchop.com/packaday120 for $120 off. goodchop.com/packaday120 using code packaday120. What are you waiting for?
Agreed. That's the thing too, right? The complementary nature, as far as you look at the offense last year, and they're so young everywhere except running back, right? Like, all the skill positions are first, second-year players. But now you've got a guy who not only, like I said, is still in his prime, can still be incredibly productive, but he's a vet who is young enough to fit in and kind of help continue to grow on that side of the ball. And with McKinney, I mean, he's just – I love the fact that it's been so long since we had a safety in Green Bay where I think I'm legitimately excited to watch him play. I kind of made the joke the day the news broke that Packers fans are going to be wondering what sport they're watching, because it's been a very long time since we had a safety who, I'm not even going to tell you he's going to be a superstar or anything like that, but you're going to notice a difference. Like the fact that he can go from basically center field, even opposite hash, and break balls up the opposite sideline, things like that, really be able to diagnose crossers and break things up. I'm just, you know, stuff we haven't seen a whole lot of with regularity in Green Bay.
No.
I'm so excited about that.
I could not agree more. And then just combining that with a safety who can tackle, that's missed tackle percentage is one of the best tackling safeties in football. Whew. Yeah, that's enough to get anyone excited, I think. On the flip side of things, nothing's ever perfect, Aaron. There's always downsides to. Right. There's always things to be nervous about and things that we get to panic about. So again, it's a hot second until Green Bay plays a game in September. But again, as we sit here right now in mid-March, what gives you the most anxiousness or nervousness from a positional standpoint?
Is this in particular to the free agent signings or just in general?
Just where this team stands right now, I guess, and like, you know, maybe they didn't address the offensive line depth, or maybe they didn't get somebody to team with McKinney, or it just could be anything that's keeping you up at night.
You know, honestly, it's nothing in free agency because we're still in first blushes, right? Like, I know it's been a week where it's started Wednesday, but really Monday, et cetera. I don't worry about that too much. And I know there are holes on the roster on both sides of the ball that I do not doubt for a moment will get addressed. You know, whether it is second, third wave of free agency, whether it is in the draft, et cetera, I'm not worried about any of that. But I will say the one thing that does make me nervous is with how young the team is and how good they were last. I mean, they really caught lightning in a bottle down the stretch there, and we're playing as well as anybody in the league, right? Yep. I don't think that's, you know, a unfair statement. I don't think that's Homer kind of glasses that I'm looking through. I think that's just objectively true. Yep. That all said, it don't mean nothing in 2024. And there is no telling what you're going to get from a group of guys who are insanely young. As far as we talk all the time about the year one to year two jump, well, that jump only happens if the players do the work and they put in the time. And there's nothing to tell you or say or indicate that that's automatically going to happen. And I trust that they are. I do not doubt for a moment they're all young professionals. I mean, that's their gig, right? But it's no given. So to me, that's because of the fact that they were so young, they played so well, anybody thinking you've arrived is a problem. And that's, to me, that's the thing that would make me nervous if I'm sitting here going, all right, I know the expectation is to, continue making playoff runs, hopefully get over the hump, get to a Super Bowl, et cetera. That all starts now with the work you're doing in the spring as an individual player. And I hope these guys understand.
And we've seen some players go from year one to I don't know that this is exactly what happened with Eric Stokes, but Eric Stokes year one, we're watching Eric Stokes year one be like, wow, this is a really good player already. Imagine what he's going to do in year two. And then year two comes before injuries and he looks nothing like he did in year one. And it's so easy for young players. Like all they hear about is going from college to the NFL and how hard it's going to be and how amazing everyone is. And you get to year one, you actually play well. It's easy to think like, oh, this is nothing. I got this. Like, this is so easy. And then maybe you take your foot off the gas even just a little bit and everything passes you by. And it does seem like they have a really good group of players who want to continue to improve and get better. And hopefully that is the case. But I'm with you with that. And also just added layer on top of that, it's a whole different animal to go from a season where nobody had any expectations and any idea what this team was going to be or what they were going to do. And then to now, I mean, I already saw what Matt Bowen, who I know is somebody you and I both very much respect, in his end of the year, like, what's the Super Bowl going to be in 2024? Packers in the Super Bowl. I've seen a lot of Jordan Love MVP conversation.
Oh, yeah.
To go in 1 year from no expectations on anything, can Jordan Love even be a starting quarterback, to Super Bowl and MVP? That is a big jump to take, and how this young group responds to that is going to be super intriguing to me.
No doubt about it. And I love the fact that, you know, we're going to get the opening night probably against the Eagles in Brazil, and they're going to, like, you know, go three and out on that first drive. And there's going to be an absolute meltdown on Packers Twitter. I can't wait.
It's going to be absolutely over. And we're just going to, you know, stop caring about the team from there and go to 2026.
Fire everybody.
Fire everyone. Halfley can't cut it. It's going to be
Halfley. They're going to give up one first down. It's going to be like, oh, Halfley.
Same thing. Same defense. All right, let's talk about some winners and losers from this so far. And we could go through a player like an AJ Dillon. Maybe he's a winner because he gets back in Green Bay. Maybe he's a loser because he didn't get the contract that he was expecting in free agency. Maybe it's a player that now has a clear starting spot. Again, any direction you want to go in. Maybe somebody who's set a better or worse now because of how free agency has gone so far.
Well, obviously, I think if nothing else, it's funny to me to say, but it's Jordan Love is a big winner as far as adding Jacobs, who is a three down back and can be so explosive. I keep talking about what I expect from this guy, but I really do think he is going to be incredibly productive. And I think he just makes Jordan's life easier. You saw the way Matt really committed to the run down the stretch last season with Aaron Jones. I think with Jacobs, you feels weird to say, but I think you can do even more. And obviously the addition of Dylan gives you a backfield where you can really pound the rock, you know, and then work off play action and probably open things up for your young quarterback, keep that pass rush off of him, things of that nature. So I think he's a big winner in that regard. I also think Keyshawn Nixon's a big winner as far as not only just re-signing and being back in the fold, but I think with McKinney in that defensive backfield, they clearly have some kind of idea and or plan as far as where they want Nixon to fit in. And I don't suspect it's going to be in the nickel role that we saw last year. I think he's going to be much more of a depth slash situational piece. Maybe even they give him some more touches on offense. We saw the one touch last year that was very successful, but maybe they want to use him more of a kind of a, not a gimmick player, but more of a kind of a Swiss Army knife kind of thing. And I think because they have McKinney as essentially an eraser on the back end, that allows them to do a lot more kind of upfront creatively. And that might include Keyshawn Nixon.
You semi stole it, but didn't go totally in the direction I thought you were going to go and to totally steal my idea. My biggest winner here is the cornerback group in general. One, because of the new defensive coordinator in Jeff Hafley. And I do believe Valentine and Stokes and Jair specifically are going to be used the way that they're a little bit more intended to be used and that they want to be used. And I think we are going to see a more aggressive group of corners because of this Jeff Hafley defense. And then the second part is kind of the direction that you were heading in with Xavier McKinney, is that I do think they have somebody in the back end of this defense now that gives them the ability to play more aggressive, because it's great to go into this season saying we want to play more aggressive. But if you don't have, you know, sort of that eraser on the back end, where if all of a sudden Carrington Valentine goes to press one time and misses on Justin Jefferson and Justin Jefferson is gone for 80 yards, now you're like, all right, well, we got to scrap that whole thing. But if you have a safety that's over the top that can maybe just limit that to a 25-yard gain instead of an 80-yard gain, or actually get there and break up the pass, that makes it a whole heck of a lot easier to play the brand of football that you want to play. I think it's Jair, Valentine, Stokes. I think we're going to see a much different version of them, and I hopefully think a much better version of them this season.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And I think it allows everybody on defense to not relax, but like just flow. And not think so much, not worry about rotation so much, and just get after the ball. And like we hear Matt talk about play style all the time, right? How he looks at, he mentioned the Texans, but other teams and how they are all rallying to the ball and they are all 11 halves to the ball at a time. I don't want to overstate it. I don't think McKinney is a cure-all for anything, but if he plays the way he played on tape with the Giants, I'll tell you what, it is going to be night and day from what we've seen in Green Bay. There's zero doubt there.
What is the signing? And maybe it's just nothing. And if it is, you can tell me that. But what is the signing of McKinney, which is a very exorbitant safety contract, and going out and getting a guy like Josh Jacobs? What does it tell you about where Goode is at for like his view of what this team is at? Is this like an aggressive move to say, hey, we're going to go and we're going to try to do this right now? We think we can compete right now. Is this just, hey, he had the money in his pocket, so he was going to go spend it? Is there no commentary here? Is there some commentary here?
No, you know, I think, there's a little. I think, yeah, it's not, to me, it's not about, if it had been a, we're going to go for it, right? We're going to, God help me, go all in, which is the phrase I never really ever want to hear again. But if that was the case, they'd have gone a lot further this past week, right? Outside of Monday. To me, and I said this on Twitter and got some pushback, which I understand, but I'd really think this is back to 2019, where Gutekunst just understood where his floor was and where it was sagging. And he knew he had to up the floor, so to speak, as far as his talent level in both situations, whether it was at running back or whether it was at safety. And to me, a lot of these signings in free agency, almost always, not every time, but almost always, are about kind of replacing and or erasing mistakes that you make in the draft, where McKinney is obviously a one-for-one for Savage, right? Like, McKinney is what you wanted Savage to become.
Exactly.
Didn't, but that is why he is here, and you basically swap them out as far as McKinney's path in the NFL. It's the perfect timing, etc. Although they did hang on to Savage 1 year too long. But so it makes sense, right? That's a perfect, where I think it's muddied on the offensive side of things with the Jacob signing, is people see that as a replacement for Jones. I don't look at that way. Jones was a successful draft pick, right? That's kind of separate. the Jacob signing is to kind of get what you thought you were getting when you drafted AJ Dillon. It just so happens you got AJ Dillon back for a song with that, you know, that contract you got on Wednesday or whatever it was. But the Jacob signing to me is to kind of erase the kind of deficit you were in for spending a second round pick on Dillon. You know, you now plug in a guy who is the three down back, incredibly productive in all facets type of back that you thought you were getting with AJ Dillon. And that's not to diminish AJ. I think he is an asset to the team, but Josh Jacobs is a much better player. And I think that's what that signing is about.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
He really is. I agree with you totally. And I how I kind of view this is, I feel like this is not, like you said, the all in and you're going to go super aggressive. I feel like this is the finishing pieces along with his five top 100 draft picks and 11 picks he has coming up, the finishing pieces of a gorgeous foundation. And we talked about all players who are on the same wavelength, the same timeline. They're all, we know they're all like 27, 26, 25 and under. And this is like the finishing touches of putting that together. And then you see how, and I'm not putting a limit on what they can be this year. I think they can compete at every level, but you see what they do. And then over the next couple of seasons, which players rise to the top, you're going to give big contracts to. Yes. And then you continue as you go on. If you see that you're a player short here or there, that's when you start making those 1 year big moves to try to finalize the roster. This doesn't feel like the, hey, we have to finish this right now and we have to be super aggressive right now. This feels like, again, putting the finishing touches on that very first foundation that is just, I think, beautifully done by Goody.
You know what's amazing is the fact that I completely agree with that assessment, and it's kind of alien in a lot of NFL cities. Like, the idea every offseason of, like, every move has got to be about doing everything you can to win it right now or to win a lot of games right now because, A, you know, owners are impatient, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's also because, like, I'm going to get fired if we don't win a ton of games. And I'm not sitting here saying, like, Goody doesn't worry about winning a ton of games because he obviously does. I mean, you remember the mood around the team after he trades Rasul Douglas. They're sitting there at, what, 4-6 or whatever it was. Like, it was not feeling great around Green Bay, Wisconsin. I do not doubt for a moment the man is feeling pressure. But because he is the GM in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and they are kind of structured the way they are, and he talked about this a little bit in Indianapolis this couple weeks ago, you know, it affords him the ability to widen his gaze and operate exactly the way you're talking about, right? There's not that if you don't win the Super Bowl this year, you're going to get fired kind of thing, you know? Now, that's the goal. You're always striving for championships, plural. It's Titletown after all. But you can do so by building a program, exactly what you're talking about, rather than, oh, I'm just going to collect a bunch of talent and hope we win a bunch of games.
It's a phenomenal juxtaposition to what's going on in Chicago. And as this offseason in Chicago is going along, I'm like, why? Oh, that's a 30-plus-year-old Kevin Byard. Oh, that's a really older Keenan Allen. That's like DeAndre Swift, a running back at that price. That's an interesting decision to make right now. And Gerald Everett, that's like a 29-year-old tight end. And you're going to draft a rookie quarterback. This is not on the same timeline. This is not the same foundation. No. I'm like, why are they doing this? And then I'm like, oh yeah, the GM has to keep his job. They like, even though they have a transition to a young quarterback, like he needs to keep his job in some capacity. And I'm sure there's some pressure from ownership and they want to start getting some wins. He's got to save it. And because of that, you might not have that time. If they go and get a bunch of young players right now who are all on that same timeline, Ryan Poles might not be there to see the end of those of what that foundation looks like. So it's a beautiful way of doing things. And I'm super excited to see where that ends up this year and hopefully beyond for Green Bay.
No doubt.
All right. A couple really quick ones before we get you out of here. The first one that I want to know, let's see what order I want to do this. All right. First one I want to know, as I go on IR this week, my plan is to watch a crap ton of draft prospects as much as I can while I'm laying right. in bed.
Right.
I have to know though ahead of time who your early draft crushes, so I don't have to watch them at all because they never draft or crash draft crush. So who is it? Yeah. Who is it right now, and who do I not have to watch?
Blake Corum, no matter what. Yeah, that's never going to happen. And I don't want to hear, I don't care about all the naysayers about, oh, tread on the tire and like, oh, he got injured, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Keep it. I love this player. I would absolutely adore him in a Packers uniform. But like you say, it's never going to happen. And also on defense, it's Byron Murphy,
he's a stud.
Just put him in the rotation and set it for kill. Oh my gosh. They would just own people up front. I'm pretty certain he's not going to be available at 25. So those are two guys that I absolutely adore, but I don't think either one of them is going to be playing for the Packers.
You should have just said like Caleb Williams and Drake May. I know. So, like, we could have just avoided everything.
The Corum thing I think is a legit possibility,
yes,
right?
I think so too.
They'll have the chance to draft him maybe a few times, but I doubt they pull the trigger.
Really quick, last one. We don't need to go super deep into this, but your quick thoughts. You take as much time as you want if you want. But the Devondre Campbell Twitter stuff that happened and interesting stuff.
Oh, bless Dre. Hey, look. As I said on Twitter, I already instantly saw fans responding to him or even in my timeline about, oh, that's unprofessional or he should just shut up. And it's like, no, it's totally professional to be able to have your own input as the player, especially if you see stuff that is incorrect or you think is being twisted in a way that makes you look bad, etc. Now, I will say there is an old adage, the eye in the sky never lies. And the one thing I thought was interesting is when he said, they never even offered me a pay cut. Well, yeah, because it's clear they were ready to move on. They think they're going to be better without you. And I know that's a tough thing for players to kind of come to grips with, right? Now, obviously, the 49ers have given him a contract. He'll have an opportunity to prove the Packers incorrect. But, it can be a cold business. But, man, I'm really, really happy to know that you, myself, everybody who has even a passing interest in the Packers weren't like canaries in a coal mine or whistling Dixie about Joe Barry and his approach to the defense, given what... Right. The even few nuggets we got out of Devondre, especially the thing about going to Matt and talking about we need to be more aggressive, play more man. God, where have we heard that before?
Exactly. But
the thing that it really confirms is the passive nature of the defense and how insane that drove me in particular to the point where I had that meltdown on the watch party during the Tampa game. Like, it's just good to know I'm not crazy. Essentially, far as everything else he said, like he's allowed, man. That's his perspective. It's his Twitter account. Like, go to town, man.
I thought the same thing when he posted the first one of like, I wasn't put in a position to succeed or like the Instagram thing. That was the first one. I'm like, you got paid 5 years, $50 million to go be a starting middle linebacker after winning an all pro. Like, that's a pretty good position to be in. And it's not like you were the middle linebacker. Like, you were the inside. Like, there's not a ton of nuance.
What position do you need to be
in? Yes, exactly.
So they're supposed to play you at safety? Like, what are we talking about here?
Exactly. That one I took a little bit more, and I mentioned it. I know Tyler, of course, is going to take my most controversial statement and put it in a clip and post it out there, which I love him for.
That's what he does best.
But the stuff from Sunday where he's going on, I was very much like you said. Like, I didn't have any issue, and it's like a lot of it's like, yeah, this is the stuff we've been saying for 3 years. Like,
and it's good that he clarified what he was talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no issue with people that. Were taking that one kind of how he was misused, etc. Little, I think it was an Insta story, and really blowing it up, right? And to get kind of a peek behind the curtain about, okay, this is why I said that. I appreciate that.
Totally cool.
Again, I like it when players are able to like kind of control their own narrative. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Totally, totally agreed. Aaron, you are the absolute best. Any final thoughts on anything before we get out of here? Anything you want to plug? Anything at all?
Plug in the Cheesehead TV, Cheesehead Nation weekly newsletter. This offseason, we've launched it. It's every Thursday morning. Once the season starts, it'll be twice a week. It's a lot of fun. It is just a ton of Packers content. You can sign up basically on any page at cheeseheadtv.com. It's a lot of fun. People should hop on board.
Yeah, make sure to go check out the newsletter, Cheesehead TV draft guide as well, right? I know
April 3rd, the draft guide drops our, 14th year we've been doing this?
Crazy.
Just insanity. Absolutely
crazy. You guys are the best over at Cheesehead TV, and Aaron, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for spending a couple seconds coming on and chatting Packers with me. Go make sure to follow everything he's doing, including that newsletter. Of course, you can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That is going to do it for us today, though. Until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.